Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Pastor Colin Smith asks this question. Has what you do for God become more important to you than the Lord Himself? That's one of the questions in his book, The 10 Greatest Struggles of Your Life, and we're going to address it today. You know, when we think of do's and don'ts, we likely think of the Ten Commandments. But we're going to find out today that there's more to them than we realize. I'm Neil Stavem. This is Connecting Faith. Ted at the controls and Chris at the phones. And Ted, when you think about do's and don'ts, Ten Commandments kind of seems like it gets to the top of the list.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I think we fall into legalism when we start thinking that way. And there's a place to follow the commandments. They're there for a reason so we can have the best life God wants for us, right?
Right. We're going to address it today with Colin Smith. He returns to Connecting Faith. He's, of course, a pastor, radio teacher from Unlocking the Bible, and author. And we're looking forward to talking about the 10 greatest struggles of your life. Another quote from the book, "The God you worship will shape the values you hold, and the values you hold will shape the lifestyle that you choose." And then one thought from Ronald Reagan on the 10 Commandments. He said, "I've often wondered what the 10 Commandments would look like if Moses had run them through Congress first."
So, they'd still be talking about it, I think.
Sure. Put it in a committee. All right. Well, I don't know what's on top of your mind today. I'm thinking, Vikings 4-0.
Hey, that feels
kind of good.
Very fun,
so, yeah. USA won the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, Colin the Scotsman probably wasn't happy about that.
But, true.
But that was pretty amazing. But the Cubs are in the playoffs, so being a Chicago area resident, maybe Colin is happy about that. We'll ask
him. A little solace for
him. We'll ask him about that. They recently, a listener survey that Faith Radio listeners participated in indicated the top two reasons that you listen to Faith Radio. 91% said it helps me grow spiritually. 82% said it helps me understand Scripture better. And I think both of those can happen on today's show. And just want to say thanks for your support of the ministry. It means so much. What a great privilege we have to be able to do this program.
It's fun to be able to connect directly with some of the hosts of our show, too, like Colin today. Yeah.
If you listen regularly in the morning, then you hear Colin Smith on Unlocking the Bible, and we're going to welcome him to the program in just a moment. There is a good insight from John Stone Street today talking about churches attracting new members, and I thought we'll get Colin to react to what John has to say as you listen in to The Point.
Lose the skinny jeans. For the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. It's a familiar sight these days. Churches turning services into rock concerts, adding coffee shops, dressing their pastors up in skinny tight jeans and hipster haircuts. Now, all of this is done in the name of appealing to young people. But new research from the Fuller Youth Institute suggests none of it works. Writing at Christianity Today, the team described their findings at 250 congregations around the country that are effectively reaching 15 to 29-year-olds. They discovered that almost every strategy used to attract young people, culturally savvy messages, pastoral attire, church size, location, newness, or worship style, were poor predictors of long-term engagement among the youngest members. What did work? Well, treating youth like adults made a huge difference, and churches small and large, traditional and contemporary, that integrated young people and gave them responsibility and leadership were vastly more successful than those that relied only on lattes and light shows. With today's Point, I'm John Stone Street.
All right, it's 8 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to Connecting Faith. I want to connect with Colin Smith, senior pastor of The Orchard. It's a vibrant multi-campus church in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. And the mission of the church calls Christians to put down deep roots in the Word of God, live through a life through the Spirit of God, and bring forth fruit in service for God. And Colin, of course, is the teacher in the daily radio program Unlocking the Bible. And he is also author of a number of books, including 10 Keys for Unlocking the Bible, 10 Keys for Unlocking the Christian Life, Unlocking the Bible Story Series, The 10 Greatest Struggles of Your Life. He had a great book on Jonah. And I think not too long ago we talked about the thief on the cross. That was a powerful story as well. Colin was born in Edinburgh, Scotland, and before coming to the States in 1996, he served as a senior pastor at the Enfield Evangelical Free Church in London. and he and his wife live in the Chicago area. I don't know if he wears skinny jeans. Colin, is that are you trying to be a hipster these days? Or
no, I'm not on the skinny jeans. I'm afraid I'm not the coolest dude in all of the world. But you know what? If you marry yourself to the fashion, you're soon out of date, you know?
True enough, true enough. Well, Colin, it's so great to have you back on with us. And by the way, we want to talk about a special opportunity for folks, at least in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, next Tuesday. You're coming to the University of Northwestern campus. So we'll talk about that as we go along. We're excited to have you coming back to town. So.
Delighted to be coming up your way and very excited to be there next Tuesday, yes.
Well, let's talk. We're going to talk the 10 greatest struggles of your life, finding freedom in God's commands. And this has to do with the 10 commandments. Can they help you finally break through? And I'm just interested, maybe by way of just to start the conversation. I mean, it seems like maybe to many people, the 10 commandments are relics of history. You know, why are they so important today?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing is that how we hear the Ten Commandments depends entirely on the relationship that we have with the God who gave them. The commandments begin with God speaking to his own people. I'm the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. So he presents himself as the one who has set these people free. I'm the Lord who's brought you into this good new life in which you're in a covenant relationship with me. And here's what it looks like to live in that covenant relationship with this God who redeems you. So straight away, the commandments are built on a relationship that comes through the initiative and the saving grace of God. And when a person has entered into that grace, we hear it in an entirely different way from simply a set of do's and don'ts and so forth, or a set of rules that come and drop out anonymously of nowhere.
Does it help us if we understand the context that, you know, they're being presented to the Israelites just after coming out of Egypt?
Yeah.
So, I mean, does that kind of help us maybe understand more about how they were maybe set up or presented, or why those 10?
Yeah, I think that's right. And that makes a huge difference. If you are in a relationship with God in which you know that he has redeemed you, you're going to hear anything that comes from him in an entirely different way from the way in which someone who doesn't know him and has not entered into a knowledge of his redeeming covenant is going to hear the same words. And you're onto something really important, Neil, when you talk about the God who gave the commandments, because all of the commandments really are a reflection of the character of this redeeming God. So if you ask the question, why should I not commit adultery? The answer to that is because God is faithful. Why should I tell the truth and not tell lies? Because God is truth and he cannot lie. So, you know, if there were a different God, he would give different commandments. But this God, the God who redeems people and brings them into a covenant with himself, he wants to bring us into a life that reflects his own life, which, of course, is supremely blessed. God is blessed. And so if I enter in, as much as I enter into a life that's patterned after his, I also will be blessed. And this is the way of it.
You know, we have come to a point in our culture where it seems like, you know, Ten Commandments displayed in public become controversial. Maybe there's always been controversy with the Ten Commandments, but it seems certainly more so these days.
Yeah, and I think that exactly makes the point, that where people don't know a living relationship through faith with Jesus Christ, in which they have peace with God and enter blessing through God, where they don't acknowledge Christ as Lord, these are seen simply as an imposition, and therefore more and more you get people saying, well, we want to sweep them away. Who is God to tell us what to do? This is, of course, goes back to the Garden of Eden, where you have the enemy of our soul, Satan, and he comes to Eve and he says, now you shall be as God. In other words, why have God telling you what's right and wrong? Why have God telling you what you should do? Why shouldn't you determine what's right and wrong for yourself? Why shouldn't you set your own laws and your own way of life and so forth? And so many people increasingly want to do that. The problem is that that's not the way that leads to blessing. The way of blessing is a life that is patterned after the God who himself is blessed and brings us into a relationship with himself.
Well, it's interesting. The title of the book is The 10 Greatest Struggles of Your Life, Finding Freedom in God's Commands. And I think when we think about, you know, the Ten Commandments, we say, well, you know, I don't know if I really struggle with those. I mean, you know, they're, you know, good guidelines, but, you know, murder is not really an issue for me and those kinds of things. So, I mean, are these really addressing struggles?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's where I think what our Lord Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount is so important. He points to the fact that each of the commandments refer not only to particular actions, but to a whole pattern of thoughts and habits of the heart that lie behind them. So one way I find it helpful to think about this, Neil, is to think about a railway line with various stations on the line. And if we think about a line that's called, say, conflict, the station at the far end of the line of conflict is called murder. The vast majority of us will never have been to that station, but all of us have traveled somewhere and visited some of the stations on the line of conflict. We know what it is to be angry with our brother, which is what Jesus says. You have heard it said, do not murder. But I say to you, don't even be angry with your brother, and so forth, because the root of that in your heart is actually what, if it was allowed to go to the full extent, the end of the line, ends up in being a violent act. And so when you read the commandments in the light of the teaching of Jesus as a Christian, you kind of move beyond where the rich young ruler was, where he said, oh yeah, I've kept all of these commandments. You begin to see, actually, they do speak to the 10 great struggles of my life. And not just anger with others, but things like time. I mean, what's remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? Do your work in 6 days. That's about an ordered life in which there is a rhythm of rest and of work. How many people think that's really easy? You know, I find issues of contentment, issues of conflict, issues of personal purity, issues of time and its pressure. These are the great conflicts of our life. And the reason they're in the Ten Commandments is because God is a wise and loving Father, and he speaks to his children at precisely the point where we need his direction and his strength.
We're going to dive in more in the moments ahead with Colin Smith, senior pastor of The Orchard and a Bible teacher on Unlocking the Bible and author of the book, The 10 Greatest Struggles of Your Life, Finding Freedom in God's Commands. You struggle with time, with the temper, with dishonesty or discontentment, whatever it is, you can find help where it may surprise you, the 10 Commandments. We'll dive in the moments ahead. We do have some copies of Colin's book to give away. We'd love to put one in your hands. You can just sign up for that. We'll do a little drawing at the end of the hour. It's 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, to sign up for a copy of The 10 Greatest Struggles of Your Life. And you may have a question or comment for Colin. If you're a regular listener, would like to just tell him thanks for a great Bible teaching, we'd welcome that, too. You're welcome to join the program. We'll talk more with Colin Smith in just a moment here on Connecting Faith. Commandments are more than just do's and don'ts. We're going to talk matters of the heart, and they're barometers of our love for God. We're talking about the 10 greatest struggles of your life, finding freedom in God's commands, the title of one of Colin Smith's books, just recently re-released. Colin is a senior pastor of The Orchard in northwest Chicago and a teacher on the radio program Unlocking the Bible. I heard each morning here on Faith Radio, and we're honored to have him with us today. He'll also be in the Minneapolis area next Tuesday. We'll talk more about that coming up. But, Colin, let's dive into talking a little bit about going through, we'll get through the 10 if we can. Anyway, how's the first commandment the foundation for freedom? Because the subtitle of the book is Finding Freedom in God's Command. So doesn't it seem like it'd just be the opposite?
Yeah, well, the first commandment, of course, you shall have no other gods before me. really is the foundation of liberty. This is the reason why we reject dictatorship. This is why this is the answer and the defense that a Christian believer has against a manipulative person who tries to take control of your life, an authoritarian pastor or whatever. What's the answer? You shall have no other gods before me. No one else has a right to control your life except God, who is your creator and your redeemer and your loving heavenly Father. And so it's fascinating where we reject the commandments, where a culture rejects the commandments. It's often the case that people don't realize actually what we are rejecting. This is the very foundation of freedom, and that's a hugely significant piece in the first commandment.
You know, our culture is full of people who are spiritual but not religious. So we've kind of. We've missed out in that have no other gods before me part, haven't we, when we walk down that path?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. This point about freedom that's really central to the book and was really the reason that I wrote it, Neil, the aha moment for me was a little story that just caught the significance of the commandments for a Christian believer in a way that I hadn't seen it before. And I think it might help those who are listening to us. It's the story of a man who was a thief, and he went to prison because of his crimes, was remarkably converted in prison, and then he comes out of prison and of course is really worried about being dragged back into his old way of life. You know, I'm going to see my old friends again, and how am I going to withstand the pressure to going back to stealing? So the first Sunday that he's out of prison, he goes to church. And it's an old church, and he sits at the back, and at the front, there are the Ten Commandments. So, of course, the first one that his eye falls on is the one that always condemns him, that thou shalt not steal. And he thinks, oh, that's the last thing that I need. You know I'm going to, I feel that I may fail. I know I'm going to be under all kinds of pressure. My old friends are going to be asking me, thou shalt not steal. He just kept looking at it and just kept looking at it. And eventually, it was as if he saw and heard these words in a way he had never seen or heard them before, not as a condemning command, but as a marvelous promise of the new life that was ahead of him. You shall not steal. You're not going to steal. And the reason you're not going to steal is that you have a whole new life. You are a new creation. You're a new person in Jesus Christ. Now, this is a true story. And when I came across it first, I thought, that's a Christian view of the commandments. That's the whole point, that the Holy Spirit is given to us so that we are able to live in a new and different kind of a way, a life that wouldn't be possible for us otherwise, but a life that is promised by God, that is full of blessing, that is opened up for those who are in Christ. And that's why I think it's so important that the commandments begin by being addressed to God's redeemed people. It's those who are in Christ. It's those who have the Spirit who are being brought into this wonderful freedom of a life that wouldn't otherwise be possible for us.
Good word. Colin Smith today is my guest, talking the 10 greatest struggles of your life, finding freedom in God's commands, reviewing the 10 commandments. And we're happy to have you join the conversation as well at 877-933-2484. We do have some copies of the book that we'll give away as well, and you can sign up for that. So, you know, on the surface, it doesn't seem like we really have a problem with making graven images of God or idols. So what do we need to know about that commandment?
Yeah, well, we don't, in the West at least, so often make metal images. The problem is that we make mental images, and there's only one letter's difference between these two words. I mean, how many times, Neil, would you or I have heard people say, oh, I like to think of God like this? Well, what is meant by that so often is that a person has kind of created a mental image of what they would like God to be, that's really no more often than a projection of their own imagination. And that is what is at the very heart of idolatry. It's reshaping God to kind of fit what we would like him to be. And of course, that's about the most offensive thing possible, to try and, you know, make someone else what you want them to be, is manipulative in the extreme. And of course, when it comes to God, it's absolutely impossible, because he comes and he says to us, now look, I am who I am. I'm not whoever you want me to be. I'm not a projection of your imagination. I'm not a fulfillment of your particular wishes or your prejudices. You can't bend me and mold me to fit whatever your chosen lifestyle is. I am who I am. And therefore, as Christian believers, we come to this great revelation that God has given us of himself. And rather than being idolaters who pursue gods of our own imagination, we submit to the Lord, who is our great Redeemer.
Good word. Let's talk about taking the name of the Lord in vain. You know, it probably shouldn't have surprised me, but you mentioned the Oxford English Dictionary notes the word Jesus as a vulgarity. And, oh, by the way, he was also the founder of Christianity. And, of course, OMG, maybe the most uttered phrase in the West these days.
Yeah,
We have really missed on this one by wide margin, haven't we?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I was staggered, actually, that the Oxford English Dictionary gave the definitions in that order, first of vulgarity. But amongst those who do not believe, that is the common use of the name of our Lord and our Savior. And in your reference, helpfully, Neil, to the OMG culture in which we live, I want to take every opportunity that I can get to say to brothers and sisters in Christ, let's be sure, as those who love the Lord, that any time we use the name God, any time we speak of him, that it's clear to anybody who hears us announce his name that we love him, that we worship him, that we adore him, that we would never speak about him in a way that was light or trivial or dismissive. And I think that that's a point of Christian distinctness that ought to be important to us. It's not the only reference of this third commandment about not misusing the name of the Lord, but it surely is one.
But you also talk about there's some subtle ways that we take God's name in vain, and I hadn't really thought about that, but say more about that.
Oh, well, there's all kinds of ways in which that happens, of course, in the world today. I mean, how many acts and atrocities of violence are claimed to be pursued in the name of God? And the offense that's involved in that is terrible. Closer to home in church world, I think it's very easy for us to take the name of God and append his name, as it were, to what may turn out to be our own ideas. You know, I have this project I want to do, and then to start presenting it as if it had been received on a hotline from heaven and was endorsed by the Lord himself. That's a misuse of the name of the Lord. We need to be tentative when we're speaking about things that we think, feel, hope, perceive may be good and wise. But we need to be careful that we don't use the name of the Lord inappropriately for something that may turn out in the end to be a short-lived, harebrained idea that came purely from my own imagination.
You're meddling again, Colin. But all right, well,
well, it happens, doesn't it?
It
really does.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We're going to talk more with Colin Smith in just a moment. Colin he serves as senior pastor of the Orchard Evangelical Free Church. He is the author of several books, including 10 Keys for Unlocking the Christian Life and Unlocking the Bible Story. The one we're referencing today is The 10 Greatest Struggles of Your Life, Finding Freedom and God's Commands. We've got some copies to give away. We'll do a drawing at the end of the hour, so sign up for that with a phone call at 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Sign up for a copy of Colin Smith's book, The 10 Greatest Struggles of Your Life. Colin, of course, senior pastor of the Orchard, and heard on Unlocking the Bible every day here on Faith Radio, and we're honored to have him with us today. And he's also going to be in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area coming up Tuesday, October 11. We'll tell you more about that here in about 10 minutes. So don't go away. Stay tuned for more here on Connecting Faith. God has revealed his plans and purposes, his will to us in his words, summed up clearly in the Ten Commandments. We look at them maybe as do's and don'ts, but they're really matters of the heart. and become barometers of our love for God. We're talking about the 10 greatest struggles of your life, finding freedom in God's commands, the title of Colin Smith's book, one of his books. He's pastor of the Orchard in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. It's a multi-site church. And he is also host, of course, and teacher on Unlocking the Bible, the radio program heard daily here on Faith Radio. And we're honored to have him with us today on Connecting Faith, talking about the Ten Commandments. Let's go to, I think we've gotten to about commandment number four. Say a little bit about work and the Sabbath and how that seems to get pretty ignored.
Yeah, it's fascinating, the fourth commandment, and really, really important. There's two parts to it. 6 days you shall do your labor. So there's a part of the commandment that is about work and about ordering our work. And of course, our work is patterned after God's work. This is the great significance of the days of creation, that God has order, progress in the work of creation that he does. There's rejoicing over the different parts or stages in the work that he does over these six amazing and wonderful days. So much for us to learn about how we do our work. It's order, it's division, progress, priority, the way in which we, and boy, I need to learn this all the time, rejoice more in what has been done than worry about what is still to be done. You know, this is God seeing that it is good at the end of each day. So there's so much about how we do our work. And then, on top of that, in the fourth commandment, about the beauty of rest and of entering into the joy of completed work. That's what it is in the creation story. God doesn't rest because he's tired. He rests from his work to enjoy his completed work. And that is one of God's great gifts to us. That's what the gift of Sabbath is all about. And of course, for a Christian, we enjoy the completed work of Jesus Christ. And that's at the very center of our worship and the source of our great gladness whenever we join together in worship. So this commandment is full of all kinds of wisdom for work and rest and worship.
We're going through the Ten Commandments, reviewing just some highlights from each. Honoring parents. Can we honor parents maybe without being under their authority? You talk about both honor and authority.
Yeah, that's right. Honoring father and mother looks different, obviously, at different stages of life. I speak about it particularly as giving weight to father and mother. That is, giving weight to what they say, giving weight to their opinions, giving weight in their later years to their needs. So in different stages of life, I think honoring father and mother looks different. For a child, obviously, it's a matter of obedience. In later life, the dynamics involved in honoring are quite different. And yet the principle of giving weight to father and mother as the first authority figures that God puts in our lives, I think remain unchanged.
We talked a little bit about conflict. It's certainly one of our greatest struggles. And, you know, the Bible teaches not to murder, but there's more to it than that. And we probably assume that we are obeying that commandment.
Yeah, that's right. We spoke about that a little bit just earlier in the conversation, thinking about the line of conflict as if it was a train line, and our Lord's point that there are other stations beside murder, which is at the far end of the line. There's anger, for example. And all kinds of escalations of conflict that can happen down that line, and the commandment about murder really addresses all of these, and not just the one simple act.
We're talking the 10 greatest struggles of your life, and we've all, I think, certainly struggled with temptation. So talk about commandment number 7. That's the one that everybody seems to know probably the best. Or easily on the lips, anyway, I guess.
Yeah, you shall not commit adultery. And there's another example of where our Lord makes it quite clear that it's not simply, the command is not simply about the physical act of adultery. He speaks about looking at another person with a lustful intent, and that being the equivalent of already having committed adultery in the heart. That's what the Lord Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. And so this is where the command becoming a promise, I think, is so important. And going back to that story of the thief who was converted and realized that there was actually a promise in this command for him. Not just the condemnation, you shall not steal, but the promise, you're not going to have to live a life of stealing anymore. Apply that to this issue of purity. What a marvelous thing that the Holy Spirit is given to every Christian believer so that you shall not commit adultery, so that you will be faithful in mind and in heart, and that becomes possible for you, difficult though it may be in some particular battles. It becomes possible for you by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is Romans 8 and verse 4, that the very reason that we're given the Holy Spirit is so that there may be a fulfillment of this blessed life into which God calls us. And that fulfillment happens not in those who live according to the flesh, which is a way of describing those who are not yet in Christ, but those who live according to the Spirit, the great gift of God. So these things are always battles, but the great thing is that we're being told here that there's a new and different life that is possible, and it's a life that's wonderfully blessed.
Mm-hmm. Well, we probably have that same issue with the commandment not to steal, too. We think maybe we don't, and yet we probably, if we were honest, which I know is part of this, that we probably are we're not being good stewards or being faithful to our employees or employers.
Yeah, I think the heart of stealing is about taking when we should be giving. And framing it in that way has helped me to see, you know, being a taker rather than a giver, that there's actually a lot of stealing that goes on not only in the workplace, but in the home. A lot of stealing goes on in marriages, taking where there should be giving. A lot of stealing that goes on in churches in that sense. And of course, the Lord Jesus came into the world to turn takers into givers. He is the great giver. And that's where the theme of stealing goes in the New Testament. You're no longer to steal, the apostle says, but actually to work in order to be a giver. So that's the trajectory of that commandment. And it's the great change of heart that is actually transforming to a marriage, to a family, to a church, to people working together in any kind of business. This is an extraordinary change that Jesus Christ makes possible for those who are in him.
Language has been degraded and words don't mean what they once did. And talk about the importance of telling the truth, because that is an important command as well.
Well, we're people who belong to the God of truth, for whom it is impossible to lie. And the Lord Jesus says, I am the truth, and therefore to enter into a blessed life that's patterned after his is going to mean that we become people of our word and people who can be trusted. And there's all kinds of dimensions of the good that comes from that.
Yeah. And just to touch on the final one, our society is built on discontentment. So how does the command not to covet address that struggle?
Yeah, well, the fascinating thing about the last commandment is that it obviously addresses not an action, but a desire. If I stole my neighbor's car, he would sure know it. But if I coveted my neighbor's car, then he wouldn't, because that's something that goes on in the heart. And so even within the Ten Commandments themselves, there is in this last commandment a clear indication that all of the commandments are speaking not only about actions, but about attitudes of the heart. And the fascinating thing to me about the last commandment is that according to what Paul says in Romans 7 and verse 7, that was the one that got him. Because he was a very moralistic kind of person when he was a Pharisee and took great pride in being a law keeper as he saw it. But he says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 7 that it was this last commandment that came. He said, it came to me and it killed me. It just sucked the life out of me. I realized that I was a sinner when I was confronted by the 10th commandment that really exposes the covetousness of the human heart. That was what convinced me that I was a sinner, says the Apostle Paul. I guess that must have happened after the Damascus Road in the light of the great revelation that he had that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. So this is really this is the killer commandment because of what Paul says. And it's the one that really opens up, I think, the true meaning of all the rest.
The 10 Greatest Struggles of Your Life, Finding Freedom in God's Commands, the book we've been referencing from Colin Smith. Colin, one of our listeners, asks a question, Tanya. She says, is living contrary to who God is and who we are in him taking God's name in vain?
Yeah, that's very good. That is very good indeed. Because to be a Christian does mean that you are taking God's name. Christian. That means I bear the name of Jesus Christ. Well, I want to bear his name in the world in a way that brings him honor. I will never do that. No Christian will ever do that perfectly. But that is our great calling, to bear his name in a way that brings him honor, that men may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And therefore, to have an awareness of what it means to bear the Lord's name, I think, is a great incentive to living a holy life.
Anonymous listener says, my husband and I have been married for 40 years, and he has a bad temper. How would be the best way to handle that?
Oh, boy. My heart goes out to the lady who asked that question. Boy, can I just say three things? Be quiet, be strong, and be clear. Mm. Be quiet. The proverb says it's a soft answer that turns away wrath. That doesn't mean a weak answer. It means don't shout back. Because, how many conversations on news programs these days are descending into shouting matches and there's no progress. Where there's anger, a soft answer. Be quiet. Be strong. Be clear. What is being described by the person who called in here is not acceptable. But there's a way of trying to address it, and that would just be that would be my word of encouragement. May God bless that dear lady.
You're coming to the Minneapolis area, be on the campus of the University of Northwestern for a time of encouragement next Tuesday evening. For those in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area or are willing to drive a bit, just say a bit about your dessert reception coming up.
We are really looking forward to this. I tell you, Neil, the folks who listen to Faith Radio and the folks who respond to Unlocking the Bible, just a marvelous, marvelous community of believers. And we have so many friends in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area and the surrounding district. And so we're very excited to be coming up next Tuesday. It's 7 o'clock in the evening, October the 11th at 7. And we're at the University of Northwestern. And we're looking forward to a great evening together, dessert reception for all the friends of Unlocking the Bible and anyone who'd like to become a friend of Unlocking the Bible, anyone who enjoys the program. We'd love to meet you. And I'm very excited about coming up with our team next Tuesday. Really hope you can come and join with the others who are already booked up for that. You can check it out on unlockingthebible.org. Details there. We would just love to have you. I would love to meet you.
Unlockingthebible.org and then / Twin Cities, and you'll find out more, and you can make your reservation there. Looking forward to it. Just you do need RSVP, though, don't you? Just because always.
That's right, because it's a dessert reception. Yeah. We want to make sure we've got plenty for everyone.
Sure. Well, if you have appreciated the growing ministry and the encouragement of Colin Smith and Unlocking the Bible, this would be a great opportunity to meet Colin in person and just to hear a word of encouragement and be blessed by the whole team. So, Colin, we are looking forward to having you in the area next week, and we also appreciate your ministry day by day. Thanks so much for this this latest book again and just your time today in the program.
Well, Neil, it's always a joy to speak with you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you next week.
All right. Again, if you want to find out more, go to unlockingthebible.org, Twin Cities, and then you can find out about the Colin Smith dessert reception, and we would love to see you there. Now, we'll reflect a bit on what we've heard from Colin here in just a moment ahead. The 10 greatest struggles of your life, finding freedom in God's commands. The song might remind us about the importance of hanging on to God's word and hiding it in our hearts.
My whole heart, I have sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Let me not wander from your commandments. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Your word I have
kids are big fans of the Ten Commandment Boogie.
Yeah, I didn't know you had moves like that.
Yeah,
oh,
well,
wow.
No, that's, yes, it's, I'm a little stiff, so, but hopefully it'll be fine. But no, that's,
they like it, though, if you play it at your house.
Yeah, it's one of the, there's several CDs that when Grandpa's taking care of the grandkids in the car, you know, that,
oh, yeah.
And that one, from Go Fish shows up quite a bit, so it's a lot
very
of fun.
Very fun.
Well, good conversation on the Ten Commandments and the Colin Smith. Some feedback, some takeaways. So.
Yeah, I appreciated what he said at the outset about how we need to look at the Sermon on the Mount to help further explain the Ten Commandments. That really points to what God meant when he gave them. I think Jesus' words about, you have heard it said, but I say to you, and that really helps clarify what they are all about.
Yeah. Carissa.
Yeah. I would also say just the reminder of getting to know our Father's heart and just understanding that he wants the best for us, and it might not seem like it's the easiest set of commandments to follow. Well, I mean, most of them are straightforward and just very, very much so resonating with the good of Christ. But, you know, just getting to know what our Father means by them and then getting closer to God, we'll be able to follow his commandments better.
Yeah, and that it was, you know, looking at them as a way, you know, it's about the right heart. So good conversation. Looking forward to, for those in the Twin Cities area, looking forward to having Colin in the area and hope you can be a part of that. You can go to unlockingthebible.org/Twin Cities to make your reservations for that event on the university campus next week, coming up next Tuesday, so just a week away. They want to talk a little bit more about Ten Commandments, and we always love to give a little different, take a look at it from a different lens. Not too long ago, I had a chance to talk to Dr. John Dixon, who is he's not Scottish, he's Australian, though, so we're kind of getting the accent hour in today, I guess. But talked about the dissonance between evolution and inalienable rights as one example of how Christianity has shaped how we think, looking at the Ten Commandments.
It is worth pondering whether there is a rational basis for the ethic of love and compassion that even Western secularists want to adopt if there's no God. Because if there's no God, what is the basis for regarding human beings as inestimably precious, as possessing inalienable rights, as the American tradition puts it? These ideas really can't be based rationally on an evolutionary model. If we are just an accident in the universe, how on earth can you say that a human being has inalienable rights, is inestimably precious? But if there is a God whose own character is imprinted on the universe, then instantly there is a difference between the good life and the bad life, and there's a rational difference. When our lives reflect the character of the God who made everything, they are good. When they depart from that character, then they're bad. So there is a rational basis to biblical ethics that really doesn't exist in the atheist view of the world, even if we can happily concede there are some wonderfully beautiful humanitarian atheists.
And we should say a word, too, the fact that, as the subtitle says, how for better or for worse our ideas about the good life come from Moses and Jesus. Of course, Moses, you know, delivered them from the hand of God. But how does Jesus understand and expand the Ten Commandments?
Well, that's a key point, isn't it? I mean, interestingly, in the Old Testament law itself, there is the acknowledgement that the people of God won't be able to keep these commandments, that they'll need to seek God's forgiveness. And so there is a sense in which even the Old Testament looks forward to a New Testament, to a new covenant, where there will be a new Moses who will provide the answer for our forgiveness because we've actually fallen short of these commandments. And the New Testament says that's Jesus. Jesus is the new Moses who died on a cross so we could be forgiven, but who also gave a law in the Sermon on the Mount that is the fulfillment of the Ten Commandments. And the historical point I want to make throughout the book is that it isn't just that the Ten Commandments shaped the West. It's the Ten Commandments via the teaching of Jesus that shaped the West. After all, it wasn't Jewish missionaries who took the law of Moses, you know, throughout Europe and around the world. It was Christian missionaries with the Sermon on the Mount, the whole gospel, and the Ten Commandments, and that's what shaped the world. And each of the commandments has a reflection in the teaching of Jesus that intensifies, or I would say beautifies, the teaching of Moses. So it's really Moses and Jesus together.
John Dixon has written a book called Doubter's Guide to the Ten Commandments, and you can find that full interview on our show page, the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. And we mentioned we do have some copies of Colin Smith's book, The Ten Greatest Struggles of Your Life, to give away, and we'll do that drawing here in about 5 minutes. So if you want to make a quick call yet to get in on that, you can call 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH.
We've probably all heard the phrase, seeing is believing. But having eyes of faith, now that is a whole different story. Hi, I'm Steve Douglas for Making Your Life Count. And musician Chris August joins us to discuss the importance of walking by faith.
Faith is a hard thing because we're all about, like, gotta see it to believe it. You know, we've all heard that. And we're so busy, like, looking up and saying, God, strike that tree with lightning right now. I'll totally believe in you. Not only would it be awesome to see that, but I'll totally believe in you forever. And it's almost funny that we do that. And the whole time we're looking up saying, send me a sign, send me a sign.
But Chris says God gives us examples every day if we just take notice.
We're walking through a whole field of burning bushes of everyday miracles and these stories, those life examples that God's saying, look how I've been faithful to you. You want to know faith? You don't need to see it. Just look what I've done.
Maybe you have a story of how God encouraged you through music. Share it with us at MakingYourLifeCount.com.
Hey, we'd love to hear your stories of encouragement as well. And by the way, you can be an amazing encouragement and be part of a miracle answer for a child in need. Our ministry spotlight during the month of October is with Compassion International, and we're excited to just invite you to consider a child sponsorship. Visit MyFaithRadio.com to change the life of a child at risk. MyFaithRadio.com. They're our ministry spotlight partner this month, and we're honored to have them along with us. Tomorrow, we're going to spend a little time talking finances and money. So.
Yeah, Chuck Bentley's returning to the program and going to answer some questions. And so if people have questions, they can actually email those right now, right? And
that would be, great. There may be something specific that you have wondered about. Maybe it has to do with retirement or just investments or whatever it might be. Chuck Bentley, of course, is the CEO of Crown Financial Ministries. And you hear him on My Money Life each weekday just before Connecting Faith. So if you got a question, just go to our show page, the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. And then you can click on the email tab there and just send us a note and be happy to address your questions tomorrow. Of course, you can always give us a call tomorrow, too. But looking forward to that. We'll talk a little bit about a minimum wage. We'll talk about the federal deficit and all the things that
interest rates, you know, they're historically low right now. People are always wondering, are they going to go up?
Sure.
Maybe
You know, how much gold you should have in your, you know, in your portfolio.
In the backyard.
So, I have it mostly in my teeth, which, you know, is not really apparently a very good retirement plan, as I understand.
No.
So, but it does make the smile look kind of like bling.
Yeah,
so,
right.
All right. Hey, if you're new to Faith Radio, welcome aboard. We mentioned earlier, we're so grateful that you've listened. And as so many of you say, you know, it helps me grow spiritually and it helps me understand the scriptures better. And you support because you believe in those things. So thank you for doing that, being part of our support team. And we're grateful again for those that took part in our fall fundraiser. We had a great response there and just are honored to know that you're standing with us. You can always, of course, be part of the support team if you are just new to Faith Radio. We are listener supported. Maybe you're listening in on the new FM signals in Waterloo at 93.1 FM, or in Madison at 104.7, or in Minneapolis at 90.7 FM, and appreciate that good, clear signal. We'd Love to know about that. And we've got a little welcome packet, too. We'll send your way if you just connect with us online at myfaithradio.com.
We'll send it out to you for free. You can also listen to us anywhere with the Faith Radio app. Check out Faith Radio Network at iTunes or Google Play.
All right. That's Connecting Faith. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.